This is No Direction's PaizoCon 2018 seminar coverage. PaizoCon 2018 seminar coverage was made possible thanks to the support of the Roll for Combat podcast, as well as the dedication of our team of volunteers. Due to possibly questionable language, this panel is rated Sorry, Ryan.
Sorry, Ryan.
Sorry, Ryan.
Did you get a letter from your doctor for being late, Ron?
No.
It's all planned for. It's all planned for. In my plans. I got plans.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to Care and Feeding of your Welsh Pembroke Corgi.
Care and Feeding or Feeding?
Starting today off on a dark note.
Sad eyes.
Looks like a hot dog.
A little bit. She's more like a Twinkie.
So yeah, this is the Pathfinder Adventure Path Q&A, and we'll do some introductions real first.
Real quick first.
I'm a managing developer and someone who's bored speaking.
Hi, I'm Crystal Frazier, a developer. I am slightly better at speaking.
Me, James, create director. Speak good, too.
I'm Ron Lundin, one of Paizo's newest and jolliest developers.
Jolly?
That's true.
Yeah, right. I wanted to talk to you about that, Adam. You sat me next to an optimist.
I know. I'm trying. It's like matter and antimatter.
I consider this a hostile work environment.
Not Adam, not antimatter and matter. We all matter, right? We all matter.
See.
Right, so how do we want to start?
So it's an Adventure Path Q&A, so I think we'll probably try to keep as much of the contents to the question and answer section, but at the very start, wanted to basically run down real quick the Adventure Path we've got going on right now. Right now, we've got...
War for the Crown! So we are currently releasing book 4, I think it is?
Book 4 is down in the store right now.
Okay. So we are releasing book 4, which is not the Twilight Child,
City of the Lion's Eye.
Thank you. By Milo...
Miko Kallio,
thank you. No wonder I couldn't...
Crystal speak good, too.
Why do we hold panels on Sunday after everybody gets drunk Saturday?
Me and James don't know.
We're trying to entertain these people because we're doing a good job of that.
Yeah! So, we're in the middle of that. Is anybody playing in that right now? Mild spoiler warnings, you're going to finish off the AP this volume. I don't even know what the next two volumes are.
Oh, no.
There can't possibly be any strange twists.
Never.
So we've got two more volumes of that, and then we move on to...
Return of the Rune Lords! That'll be launching in August. I don't think it's actually going to be launching at Gen Con because they move it around, and Gen Con is at the end of July, so we might get...
It's the first week of August, which is what complicates it.
Oh, well, if it's there, it's there. If it's not, it's not. We'll find out when it's there. But this is a sequel to Shattered Star, which is a sequel to Return of the Rune Lord, Rise of the Rune Lords. So this is a whole trilogy thing already going on. It's got time travel in it, so it's kind of complicated. We'll do the questions later. It's basically closing out this whole story arc that started way, way, way back with Burnt Offerings. Player characters are once again thrown into the crucible that is Varisia's proving ground for heroes. And like I said, there's going to be time travel. There's going to be lots of Rune Lords, some of which you thought were dead that aren't, some of which you thought were alive that are dead. Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. Some of which, not all of them are necessarily going to be people you fight. Some of them you'll be fighting before you think you should be fighting them. It's pretty cool. We've got... it's going to be going all the way to 20th level, hopefully. That means that we're going to be only having two support articles in each one, which pretty much meant we had to really focus in and make sure they were as awesome as they should be. We are not going to have forwards starting in this one as well, so we're going to be adopting the Starfinder model of Adventure Path. It'll just get right into the adventure and be off and running. You want to say anything real quick about some of the back matter?
Yeah, the with the only two-thirds of the work, I had a lot more free time. We're putting a lot of effort into making sure that we've got the really load-bearing sort of back matter that really enhances the experience of the adventure, especially with the adventures being sort of longer in page count. It's important to make sure that you got the support that you need. And I think that the forewords had been a good opportunity for the developer to actually speak during the adventures, but that doesn't mean that we can't continue to do so in the occasional sidebar or what have you. So the developer's voice is not being silenced by the omission of the foreword.
One thing that's actually I'm really eager to see how people take to is in this one, in the very first volume, we're doing sort of an experiment with a GM. Thought on and off, and we always do Player's Guide for the Adventure Path so that the players can get into it and see what's going on. We've never done a GM's Guide, and the reason for that are mostly because it's kind of the proverbial straw that breaks camelbacks to do these extra Player's Guides and all that. So in this case, what we're doing is one of the first support articles in the first volume is kind of a background for the GM. It tells what all of the Rune Lords have been up to, how they avoided Earthfall, how they come back. It's got a two-page timeline of Thassalon and all sorts of mayhem and events and stuff like that. So it's got a lot of the information the GMs are going to want to know just for the background going throughout the entire event. So after that, come February, we're going to be doing our final first edition Adventure Path, and that's going back into the hands of the esteemed and erstwhile Crystal Fringe. That's you.
Oh, wait.
After that, we're doing Tyrant's Grasp, which is Tar Baphon breaks out.
Yeah!
Is that really something we should be applauding?
It's a very short adventure path. He breaks out.
Yeah, I can say up front it doesn't start out well for anybody.
So that one is... going to be, I guess, I don't know how much you want to say about it yet, or if you want to kind of keep things sort of secret, or it's all up to you, really.
Should we at least run through the titles, maybe?
Okay. Yeah. Is this the segment where we run through the titles?
Yeah.
So we've got 139, The Dead Roads, written by Ron Lundeen. Yeah, and it's called that because your players start off already having lost.
Good.
You start out dead.
If you thought In Search of Sanity, the first Strange Aeons was weird when you wake up an amnesiac, how about starting dead?
Super important. Big fans of the lore. I said, the Dead Roads, isn't that the ways by which psychopomps come to and from the Boneyard to other planes? Yeah, if you're going to come back, you're going to have to find them.
Yeah. So, after that is 140, Eulogy for Roslar's Coffer. Which just happens to be the name of a small town in Lastwall. I can't imagine why the adventure would have such a dire name when you start out dead.
I'm sure it's fine.
That's being written by our own Jason Keeley of the Starfinder team. I don't think there are aliens in it. I haven't gotten the final turnover yet. So. Could be full of Skittermanders. 141, Last Watch, is being written by Larry Wilhelm, where you go to the city of Vigil and try and recruit paladins to stop bad goings-on.
It all works out really well for you guys.
After that, we come to the much perkier Gardens of Gallowspire.
Not a typo, not gallows. Gardens!
Yeah.
Sounds super nice.
It's not. New vacations mod. It's verdant.
It's not gallows of Gardenspire?
No.
That's the tie-in Pathfinder Society module. let's see. After that...
Who's writing that one?
I am writing that one. So 143 after that, Born by the Sun's Grace. I think this one's going to be very popular. Our own Luis Loza is writing it. You're going to leave Avastan behind, and you're going to go to a place on the map called Arcadia.
Oh.
Oh.
So you're going to find out some of the things Aridin was doing when he wasn't being, like, a big savior over in Europe.
Could you have phrased that more ominously?
Yes. Crystal can always phrase things more ominously.
All right, fine. You'll see the legacy left behind of a god traipsing through an unfamiliar culture.
Okay.
Oh, no. That was more ominous.
Yeah.
And
it is more ominous every time.
So it's like the right.
Pessimism is a gift. After that is 144, Midwives to Death, being written by John Compton in the back there.
Wow. Yeah!
So that is the one where you finally have your confrontation with Tar-Baphon, and I can't promise it will end well.
We have 4 out of the 6 authors in this room right now.
We do?
Yeah, Larry's right over there.
Oh, Larry, hi. You're hiding behind a baseball cap. I didn't even see you there.
Stealth Larry.
Everyone, Larry Wilhelm.
Yay!
You killed so many of my PCs, and I love you for it.
I'm killing a lot more.
Good!
And much like War for the Crown, this AP is going to have some tie-ins to Pathfinder Society. So we are going to have a prequel adventure where the Pathfinders go to Roslar's coffer before it needs a eulogy, and start to find out some strange doings, and try to get back and warn Lastwall before things are too late.
They'll make it. They'll be fine.
And there is a much later adventure we've titled affectionately The Grinder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where the Pathfinders get back too late.
Oh. Cool. So yeah, that's basically what we got planned. We don't have anything to announce yet for what's coming with Adventure Path for 2nd edition, other than that there will be Adventure Path for 2nd edition.
But we've heard your feedback. We know everybody misses the fiction, so we've taken out the adventures.
Oh, that makes it so much easier. So yeah, I guess now we are going to kick it over for the question side of the Q&A scenario of answering things. And now we talk good.
Words.
Yeah.
Words hard.
Right there.
With the time travel and return, are you thinking of doing any rewriting of the kind of modern current Galarian for the switch to 2E?
So one of the things that I've always said when people have been asking for a time travel adventure path forever, and I always said that we're never going to do it because that's what happens. Is you go back in time, people change things, it changes events. You go back in time too far. If you set the entire adventure in the past, suddenly you can't worship Caden Kaling because he wasn't born yet. You can't be gnomes because they weren't invented yet. It's just a different setting, and it requires an entire different campaign setting to support it, so it's complicated.
Can't roll a d10 because
that's true, you're base 12.
Yeah.
But it does, anyway. So, we evolved that finger off. Our loss. So the time travel elements in Return of the Rune Lords are pretty self-contained inside of Return of the Rune Lords. There's not going to be a big world-changing event from 1st edition to 2nd edition. That's not really something that we're interested in. I actually kind of joke around that with the playtest adventure Doomsday Dawn, which is the official adventure that we want you guys playtesting and reporting and doing surveys and stuff for, that's the adventure path you play in order to prevent us from destroying Galarian and changing everything. So you guys have to playtest that adventure, or we will shape things up. So it's up to you. But yeah, the time travel elements are really self-contained inside of the adventure path itself. So the player characters start doing time travel stuff, but they start suffering the effects of what they're doing before they start doing them. So it's pretty complicated. It's cool. One of the things I want to try to bake into it is some reasons why you shouldn't do it after this adventure path, because it's not a great solution because it causes more problems. I mean, can you think of any time travel movie that didn't have that as kind of its morals, like, don't mess with the past, don't mess with the future.
Back to the future.
Back to the future.
His life got way better.
He but, almost kissed his own mom. He almost did terrible things.
But his mom was really hot.
Also, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah,
we're getting off topic.
Yeah, I guess so. Those are comedies, though.
Yeah, Deadpool 2. Actually, yeah. Recently,
spoilers. Spoilers.
Speaking of spoilers, we're going to spoil the hell out of some of these Adventure Paths if you ask the right questions. So,
if your players in these
be warned.
Adventure Paths.
Oops. Let's start going this way.
So, when you slipped up and said that Shattered Star was a sequel to the Ring Lords earlier, instead of, you know, prequel, how deep should we read into that?
You should read into that this is the third day of a convention that gets me all weirded out, and sometimes I mess up and say things funny. Rise of the Ring Lords, Shattered Star, Return of the Ring Lords. Down here, you had a question?
Captain America.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so, with the time travel...
Mm-hmm.
Are we doing like a Back to the Future, creating alternate universes, 2A, you know, 1A universes, difference, or is it a stable time loop?
It's a pretty stable time loop. It's the time travel. There's been time travel elements in Return of the Rune Lords, Rise of the Rune Lords, and Shattered Star. It's been pretty subdued in the previous Adventure Paths. This one is, it's more about the player characters trying to fix things that have bad have happened. So I guess... I don't want to spoil too much because it's still in flux and stuff might change. But yeah, it's basically, it's not that you're creating alternate timelines because that basically means that we would have to publish multiple Adventure Path volumes to cover each potential, you know, timeline, and that's not really something I'm interested in doing, so.
And other Daigle's already busy. So.
Yeah, and
other Daigle?
Yeah, other Daigle's busy.
Well, yeah, and he had that accident with the Thresher.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a busy.
Yeah. You have to grow out that goatee to cover the scars.
Right.
Oh, yeah, the throat scars. So start wiping that this way.
Another time travel question, because you're not going to answer enough of these. Yeah, we were the talks last night about meeting or interacting with or having mechanics to deal with past PCs in Rune Lords and Shattered Star.
Mm-hmm.
How is that going to interact with time travel?
That's a huge spoiler, but okay. This Adventure Path is a sequel to Return of the Rune Lords, or Rise of the Rune Lords, see this. I kind of picked this on purpose to confuse other people in his background. So in Rise of the Rune Lords and Shattered Star, there's a group of player characters in each of those that gets up to 17th level and are heroes. They're well known across the land. In Return of the Rune Lords, those heroes play a role. They're in the Adventure Path doing stuff. It's baked into the plot. I'm not going to tell you how because it's weirdly complicated. But what it basically boils down to is when you get the player's guide to Return of the Rune Lords, all of the players are going to basically pick which one of the previous characters is part of this group. We're calling them the Sihedron heroes. And that basically means that however many heroes are, some of them are going to have retired, some of them are dead, some of them are moved on, some of them are doing things elsewhere. We don't know what they're doing because they're your characters, and that's the part of the game that we can't control. But it'll basically be, every player in Return of the Rune Lords gets to pick one of those heroes that is recurring and is playing a role in the Adventure Path. And the campaign traits you pick will have implications that you don't know about, that the GM will know about, because it helps to, that's another way we're trying to like trick you into making your own time travel choices before you make those choices. So, yeah, there's going to be some weird, crazy stuff. In the Adventure Path itself, Kira, Mauricio, Valeros, and
Ezra and
Sione are going to be standing in for the four player characters, because those were the first four player characters we ever did illustrations for. So they will be in some of the illustrations in some of the shenanigans. So, yeah. And then coming back here.
I actually have a question about the structure of Adventure Paths going forward, because mm-hmm. you said that in Return of the Rune Lords you're doing away with the forwards,
yep.
And that it's going, that because of the size of this adventure, you're going to chop it down to just two support articles.
Right.
Does that include, a couple questions, does that include the Beastry?
No, Beastry is not changing. Scale 4 to 5 monsters.
I guess what I'm wondering is that the model going forward?
No, like, it's for Tyrant's Grasp. We're going back to the standard three support articles.
Yep, three support articles.
Commissioning three for each. So
yeah. Don't, Ron will get bored.
Yeah, we don't want Ron to be bored because then this comes into my plans.
Yeah.
Once we shift over to second edition. One of the things I've been challenging the design team, and I really want them to do, is to build a game that allows us to do first to 20th level adventures right out of the box. So that will be something that in second edition we won't have to, you know, pull any weird shenanigans or stuff like that. So, actually, right back here. Yes. Yes.
I have two questions, but they should be relatively brief. What level does Tyrant's Grasp go up to?
17? I think you end at 18 after beating everything.
That's what my outline says.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh. Yes.
thank you, John. Sorry, I'm still also neck deep in Warp the Crowd.
And what's the other one now?
Another
quick one. Are you thinking of doing 3-volume APs for Pathfinder?
It's not off the table. We've announced that we're doing 3 volumes Adventure Pass for Starfinder, but those are not out in the wild yet, so we don't know how people have reacted to them yet, because that's in the future, and it's not in an Adventure Pass, so I can't control that. But it's potential. I mean, if people are really into 3 parts, yeah.
Could end up doing 3-4-volume adventures a year.
Yeah.
So I was a huge fan of Carrion Crown and Strange Aeons, which obviously both were not completely, but significantly involved Ustalav. Obviously, the home of the Tyrant. How much of Tyrant's Grasp will either kind of be taking place in Ustalav or will sort of build off Ustalav?
Almost none of it. It's centered largely around Last Wall. Book 4 is built a little bit around Virlich, the, abandoned...
The province
undead,
of the Tyrant.
Yeah. In Ustalav, but that's not very connected to the rest of Ustalav.
Okay, minor follow-up with the whole Gardens of Gallowsfire thing. Does that mean we may or may not be seeing the Gardens of Lead pop off, one of the sites of Virlich?
Nope.
All right, your question.
For Tyrant's Grasp, you mentioned that there are PFS scenarios that tie into those. If you're running the Adventure Path, is it possible to work those into your campaign, or are they separate?
They are largely separate. You might be able to work the last volume in, although it might be a little... Or the last tie-in Pathfinder scenario, although... Do you remember what level that is, John?
It is currently a little bit in flux, but we're tentatively making it tier 5 through 15.
Wow. So, might be a little high level if you're, might be a little low level if you're, coming off of book 5 and 16th level. So.
Can I sort of add something to that?
Sure.
I've found it to be very useful to have the PCs play through them for the players play through them separately to see what's going on while their characters are elsewhere.
With their characters?
Yes.
Could you say a little bit about, and I think you mentioned on the blogs and stuff that some of the adventure paths are assumed to have happened for going into 2E.
I was
wondering if you could say a little bit about which ones those are and
We've got to decide which ones. I'm pretty sure closing the world wound. We've all kind of agreed.
Yeah, it's
canon.
My preference would be to assume the player characters were successful in all of the previous adventure paths.
What?
Because it's
most. Can we go with most?
Most.
All?
You've got to have some disasters.
Oh well, then you're the one who gets to tell these lovely folks that your player characters don't matter.
That's tricky. Your player character's screwed up, and now Nirmathis is an elemental haunted wasteland.
Awesome. Here. All right. We haven't figured out the exact details yet, but that is something that we're going to be advancing forward in the second edition, and we'll be figuring it out.
For sure. Right.
I really love Galarian and all the detail you put into it over the years with the Adventure Path, but I will have to say that my favorite Adventure Path is Reign of Winter, because it deals with alternate worlds. Mm-hmm. Without spoilers, you know, for people who haven't played it, I'm just wondering if there are any plans to involve alternate worlds in future Adventure Paths.
Yeah.
We can't stay put. In the Tal'Dorei Adventure Path, leave Tal'Dorei.
Yeah.
Well, kind of a lot in one specific adventure.
The reaction we all had when we came up with the title to that thing that you're talking about that I'm not going to mention
my
about
favorite book ever.
Is, yeah, that was so much fun that we're going to do, there's other stuff going to happen eventually. Nothing written in stone.
If we don't eventually get a drawing of Valorous in the Wild West, I'm going to be very sad.
Oh, we've got Valorous as a gangster.
Briseal with guns. Briseal with six shooters.
Yeah. Right here.
Lacking official published forwards in the Adventure Path, so we can get like Paizo blog posts or anything like that.
We could, yeah.
Like an unofficial, just kind of personal thoughts from developers.
We've done that before in the past. The blog has been through so many different permutations and stuff like that that it really that's something we could do. Yeah. It's also on the message boards, I'm pretty active in that one thread for sure. So if you ever have questions about stuff, just pop in there. Yes.
I know there's some stuff. I don't know, you know, how much of it is really. I could be barcamp the wrong tree, I guess, mm-hmm. but some of the titles for Return of the Rune Lords, for example. Have hinted that there's going to be some more dramatic effects of these adventure paths.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of them talks about New Thassilon.
Yeah, the last adventure path is called Rise of New Thassilon.
Yeah, that kind of gives some suggestions.
It sure does.
In regards, and obviously War for the Crown changes up the leadership, and we don't know what else of Tal'Dorei. We don't know what's going on with the Tyrant's Grasp. How... Like, if we use time travel to look forward, see a copy of the world map of second edition, how dramatically would we see the effects of each of these adventure paths of Tyrant's Grasp?
It varied. I mean, to use one that is, again, we're going in spoiler territory, to use one that is already out that people can talk about, Hell's Rebels ends with a chunk of Cheliax seceding from Cheliax. And so... It's very possible that in the new map of the Inner Sea region, Cheliax will have a little taken out of the upper northwest corner, and that would be a nation called Ravelin. That wouldn't change the coastlines or anything like that. So they would be pretty minor, but they'll be recognizable. But it will still very much be, obviously, like you'll still see Irisin and all these other locations where they have always been.
With the caveat that nothing is set in stone, have your own plans moving forward, and those plans may change.
Plans.
With the advent of second edition coming up, what areas of the campaign setting are you as developers most interested in exploring in the future?
Let's have Adam.
Start with Ron.
Ron. Replacement Adam.
I like it. Thank you. Man, I'm going to give Adam lots of time by delaying. with the understanding that the world as it is sort of on the map now has some fringes that we've touched on, I'm interested in exploring some of those and bringing some of those in a little bit more. Yobaria has so much sort of deep history to it, as well as a lot of great deep tragedy, that I think there's some very compelling stories that could be told there.
I'm a big fan of Verisia still, and I would love to do more Verisian Sandpoint stuff in 2nd edition, because it's part of the game I really like. A part that hasn't been done much, I would like to do something in with Tanglebriar.
Ooh. Like Ron, I'd like to see things a little more off-map, or at least off the map that most people are familiar with. I don't think it's any secret that I've been a big fan of Arcadia. It's something that I kind of held my own little stranglehold on, to be like, I'm the only person that's going to do stuff with Arcadia. And recently I realized that I'm an idiot and I need to share. And so that's why I have, you know, Luis is doing stuff with Arcadia, and I just basically went, okay, we're going to have a meeting. These are the things, these are the parameters that I want to see. Run. Have fun.
Tell him about Corgivania.
I'd like to see more done with Southern Garund. I've been reading a lot of Afrofuturism, and it's amazing stuff. And I had plans for Southern Garund that were very much like had an Afrofuturism nation that fell in the last several hundred years, and there's still fallout from that.
It also turns out, since we're the ones who kind of make a lot of the stuff, these may or may not be stealth previews, so...
It might not. Anything we say up here about future projects may or may not ever see the light of day.
Yeah. We all have corporate overlords.
Yep. Or it might see the light of day, like, 10 years from now, or whatever, so... let's see if somebody hasn't asked a question yet. Anybody? Sorry, we'll start going back in front of
them. Okay, two questions. Three that are really quick.
All right.
We'll see. The first one is there are there plans to ever to do another adventure path for evil characters?
Should we?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably.
Infrequently, but yes.
It was Tremont, right?
Basically, I think our take for Adventure Paths is we try to make them agnostic as far as that type of element, so that, I mean, you could play evil characters in Rise of the Rune Lords. You can be evil and not want your homeland to be ruled by an ancient, intolerant wizard king. So, there's nothing really hard. I mean, Skull and Shackles really works well with evil characters because pirates are kind of jerks sometimes. There's
a, into that.
Yeah. So an adventure path that is specifically about and for evil characters, it's possible. I don't know when. I think it might be more likely you'd see us do something like that in a standalone adventure, perhaps, or something like that.
Yeah, I think if so, it wouldn't be anything anytime soon, because I don't think throwing an evil adventure path in the early cycle of new editions is smart.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
The second question is there anywhere in Galarian that you think needs a bit of retooling before it can support an adventure path?
No. I mean, I think that all of the regions, when we built Galarian, we tried to make all of the regions be equally interesting and potentially supporting an adventure path. I wouldn't say some of them need retooling. I would say certainly some of them need development. There's certain areas like, I don't know, Druma or Galt that we just haven't gotten around to doing much with. I mentioned this in a previous panel. We've done how many adventure paths so far?
This will be the 12th.
The 12th event? No, there's more than
Tyrant's Grasp will be the 12th.
Yeah,
12 adventure paths?
No, 24.
Oh, 12 years. That's
yes. Okay. That's why we're so tired and we make mistakes. So 24 adventure paths. But if you look through the Inner Sea World Guide, there's 44 or 43 regions in there. So ask us again in another 12 years, and if we haven't gotten to the one you're looking for, then we did screw up. We're certainly looking at places that we want to go that have been underrepresented.
And the last question and the follow-up to that is, Nidal Adventure Path, please?
Yes! All right. We got Cradle Knight coming, which is set not necessarily in Nidal, but it's set below Nidal. It's got a lot of Nidal-flavored stuff in there, shadowy stuff. So, Nidal is a tricky one to do, though, because it's pretty extreme. And,
Evil AP.
I don't necessarily, even if it's a good AP, the content of Nidal is it's very mature, and I wouldn't say that we would never do an adventure path that's all set with such mature themes, but that tends to be not as useful for as many people, or as wanted, so we'll see.
I think the possibility feels more open after Strange Aeons.
Everywhere is in there. We didn't put any nations into the Inner Sea Guide to say we don't ever want to do anything with this. So.
That would have been weird.
Yeah.
In my opinion, Voudra and Gebnex Alkenstar Mana Wastes are like probably the two most underused.
That's more than two, though.
Oh, One of them, it's close enough. like, are, at least in my opinion, probably the two most underused design spaces.
Yeah, we've noticed that.
awesome. That's lovely to hear. Obviously, like there are some challenges like with taking like the richness that is Indian mythology mm-hmm. and doing it justice with appropriation.
Yep.
Like, how would you guys work to address that in, say, a Hudra AP?
Well, we would hire people that know what they're talking about. We'd look to hire people that have you know, ties to that culture and are expert in that. We've got a couple of people that we've talked to already who are really or knowledgeable. Then we know people that can do that type of, be it Hudra or Arcadia or anywhere. But it's there's a lot of different moving parts that we have to cover. So every time we look at something. Looking back at, for example, Jade Regent and Tian Sha, pulling that adventure path off was really, really difficult. And the years leading up to it, it was something that kind of required all hands on deck and everybody working together. And we've been working on second edition of Pathfinder for 2 or 3 years already. And we're going to be working on it for at least one more before it's out, obviously. So until we get out from under that and get moving forward, we're not going to really be looking at turning our attention to something significantly complicated, but it's something we do want to do. I will tell you this, we're more likely to do something with Jalmari before we do something with Hudra. Because that's kind of the most of what we've done already with Jalmari, with the setting. So. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, we've done a little bit here and there with Hudra in some products, but it's something that I know people are interested in, and it's on our radar to do something at some point.
Ask you guys why you think it's maybe not a good idea to do it with Hudra so soon in the second edition. I feel like there are things to balance.
Honestly, I don't want to encourage that kind of behavior in players.
Okay.
I don't like people being jerks, and by making something people, you're encouraging people to be jerks.
That's a great answer.
You're talking about extreme edges off the map and other things. I'm glad you brought up some of the ones that we've seen up or represented. How about other extreme environments like underwater, on the moon, other planets that are already...
We've done those adventures. Mm-hmm. We did an underwater adventure path practically with Ruins of Aslan.
Well, I mean other...
We've done an adventure other, called Moonscar set on the moon.
Yeah, other extreme environments.
Oh, other like that.
Yeah. The sun.
We have an AP for that coming out.
Yeah.
Starfinder, but it's
gonna be in the sun.
A lot of the same.
In
there's I guess one semi spoiler for Return of the Rune Lords, one of the locations you're gonna go to there is the Dimension of Time.
Nice.
And that is about as extreme as things can get because it's hard for you to exist in a dimension where you are not supposed to be. And where just going there makes things go back in time to attack you when you weren't as powerful to defend yourself.
Nice. I would have specifically asked about the Dimension of Time, but I didn't want you to like worry about a spoiler or anything. But I'm glad you said it.
Oh, yeah.
It's my favorite dimension.
And it's not the only hostile other plane that you'll go to in Return of the Rune Lords.
Good.
Based off the popularity of it, have you guys ever put any thought into another like Kingmaker like? Heavy focus on the kingdom building and Tabernacle. Can we do it in the North?
Specifically pitched that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Instead of Iron Fang.
Yeah.
we were affectionately calling it Queenmaker at the time.
At one point, was that the one set in the Ironbound or the,
yeah, in the Ironbound Archipelago?
Yeah. So yeah, definitely, it's something we want to do. A lot of times, we'll pitch adventure paths, and for whatever various reason, they don't work. I originally wanted Jade Regent to be the third adventure path. It took a lot longer for that to get off the ground. So I love what you came up with for that the Queenmaker adventure path. That was rad, but it just didn't work out because of imperial entanglements with having a, you know, we wanted to get the Rune Lords adventure. We didn't want the third part of the Rune Lords trilogy to happen in a new edition, and it's just, there's a lot of different moving parts, but once we come up with an idea we like, we cling to it.
Yeah, it turns out that AP developers probably have like 6 different AP ideas in their heads at all times that we could just like on the table.
And mind detection is, or mind reading is coming out when?
For us. I hope soon. we'll hold on to that for ourselves. Let's see here.
Isabel.
Oh, yeah, you can. Okay, thanks. Following up on that, then, the six you each have in your head.
Oh, Jesus. What happened to say six? I should have said
what's
one.
What's one? Let's just tell us one for you.
I kind of wanted to do some Lenore King's thing, or, yeah, land of Lenore King's stuff as well, but Crystal's idea was way better. I also have, you were asking about Nadal. I have a Nadal idea that I would like to do at some point. That's just one. That's all you're getting right now.
Three volume AP.
I think my very first pitch ever was for a Plane Hopper AP that you start out from level one on, not being on the material plane.
Nice. I'd like to do an adventure path that super limits your character choice.
You just do my thing!
That's because when you stepped out, I'm looking through.
You're like, you're looking at my plan.
Question 14.
That's why it's good that we all agree on some things.
For example, what I mean by that is an adventure path where every single player character is a worshiper of Serenray. And the plot of the adventure path is healing the schism that has grown in Kadira. That's a tricky one to pull off because not everybody wants to play a Worshipper of Serenray, right? But I think we did a really good job with Skull and Shackles where everybody had to be a pirate, and so I think there's potential there.
Despite the difficulties to it, I'd like to have something that's sort of overtly and very prehistoric, where every human you meet is the bad guy. You don't get to be one because these upstart humans riding into things is a problem for the PCs.
Do we all get to be...
What?
Serpent folk?
What?
Do y'all get to be serpent folk?
Are there dinosaurs?
dinosaurs. Yes.
Yeah.
From the very first encounter.
I'll change my answer.
And you kind of actually already hit this one. Now that we have Planar Adventures obviously about to hit, I've noticed there's been a lot more planar content in the APs. We have the Reaper's Right Hand coming from Mr. Compton. We have, like we're starting off dead, and there's talk of psychopomps.
We usually have at least one
of season 8.
We usually have at least one extra planar adventure in each AP.
Yeah, we've been doing extra planar stuff all along. To a certain extent, it's kind of weirds me out that we took so long to get Planar Adventures out in the first place.
This is and so I guess you make a good point that it's kind of been there all along. Is that going to be more of a thing now that Planar Adventures is out? And is that going to carry over into second edition using the lore from Planar Adventures?
So while Planar Adventures does have a fair amount of player options, I'd say probably 75% of the book is lore. It's intended to be something that is sort of edition immune. And the information on the other planes, outer planes, in that book is absolutely still the way it's going to work in second edition. So, yeah, absolutely. It'll give us the information we need to go forward from here. Green shirt?
You alluded to Cradle of Night a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
This may be outside of the AP team's purview, but will there be a substantive return to the module line?
Yes.
And if so, what can we expect to see?
I would like to see us do 3 to 4 modules or 3 to 4 significant adventures a year. Never go under 64 pages. Sometimes go higher than 64 pages. If I had complete control, we'd have a box set adventure or something like that. I don't have that sort of control, but yeah, there will. I'm really pushing hard to get modules and adventures, standalone adventures, because there's stories you can tell in that format that don't work for adventure maps, and vice versa.
That includes stuff like the Emerald Spire, bigger, even hardcore adventures.
Yeah, it would include this Emerald Spire, but I'm thinking something. If we were to do the Emerald Spire under this one, I would have one person write it rather than 16 people write it.
But stuff like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're in the second row.
In the past, you guys have talked about people that champion certain regions or certain stories. Is there anyone in the Paizo office that's champion for like a dwarven focused adventure map?
Nobody in the back row is.
Nobody
eager.
Cares about dwarves in the back row.
Yeah, if Cleary would not have shot himself into space, he would be raising his hand.
There's definitely dwarf champions.
Crystal, aren't you like the second or third tallest person on staff?
If I'm wearing heels, I'm the tallest.
Well, if I were wearing heels, I'd be taller.
It's really entertaining to see Jason Bowman look up at you and go,
I should have some heels. That's
yeah. Okay, so this is kind of... I'll just say words and it'll make sense.
All right.
So there's things like you published mysteries of not a mystery, excuse me, occult mysteries.
Yep.
Ways back, and in one of the occult mysteries in that was the Octurn Enigma, which of course was as origins as far back as the Pactstone Pyramid, mm-hmm. and. Based on what you've said about Doomsday Dawn, the Octurn Enigma might not be a relevant enigma going forward. I guess my question is, taking note of that, are there any mysteries or questions of things on in the world of Galarian that you deliberately never want a definitive answer to? Because
I want. Mm-hmm. The Death of Eridan is the only one.
Okay. So noting...
But you told us all that.
Oh yeah, I told them. They all know.
It's we the all plan. Know.
But that's not something we're ever going to publish.
Okay. So, because there's things like the Oliphant of Jandalay and Jandalay in general, which are...
Check out Planar Adventures.
can I hug you after this?
Let me think that over.
Okay.
The Oliphant itself got statted up in Mythic Realms.
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Jandalay is one of the demon clans we have.
Oh,
detailed.
Sweet.
It's not a lot, but it's I think a page at least. And there's a 2-page monster.
It's more than we've had before.
Yeah.
From when you were all back sitting in these seats. What question should we be asking you, and what is your answer to that question?
Oh my god.
That was so question meta. Pass.
Meta question. You with the immaculate black hair.
Sure, so we have ways to turn first edition AP stuff into your second edition AP stuff. You probably don't want me to ask this question, but.
Turning second edition stuff to first?
The other way around.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, we've got people running Adventure Paths using 3.5. We've got people running Adventure Paths using 1st Edition D&D or 5th Edition D&D.
4th Edition still.
Yeah. So the stories that we tell in Galarian are the stories we want to tell, and the rules that we make are rules that we use to make those stories work. And, you know, after 10 years of working with the 1st Edition, there's a lot of ways we realize we can improve on it. But, yeah, you can absolutely go either direction.
James ran a bunch of developers through Temple of Elemental Evil, converting mm-hmm. it on the fly. So, I mean...
And by converting it on the fly, it's like just swapping out stat blocks. I mean, I even... that was actually really fun because I gave out... If it said that the fifth level pirate on the river had a belt worth 5,000 gold pieces, that's what they get if they loot them, and they did. So, they never did find the ring of shooting... Or did you find the ring of shooting?
I found that.
We didn't.
No, that was that. No, it was just, I remember...
Oh, you did find it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I know you found the Rod of Wonder, or the Rod of A Wonder.
A Wonder.
Yeah, no, we had, on the same level, one encounter was like, you meet three ghouls, they attack you. And another was, this is a juggernaut of the gods.
That's right. And it was balanced because they didn't have to go into that room.
I seem to remember we specifically slammed that door.
Did you ever kill the juggernaut?
Yes.
I think you went back the very
like
end.
Three levels later.
You killed the main bad guy and it's like, let's go get that juggernaut.
No unfinished business.
Yeah. Yeah, sure, you get the juggernaut. I'll game over.
All right,
we never found Black Tom, though. Little X-Men humor for you.
Got time for probably a couple more.
Tarbifon is statted in Mythic Realms.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Are the PCs going to be going mythic to kick his ass?
Nope.
Excellent!
What makes you think you're going to kick Tarbaphon's ass?
The ass kicking goes the other way.
Dreams and tears of my PCs?
Oh no, I've been specifically told PC tears don't matter.
Okay.
You're just talking about using Temple of Elemental Evil unmodified and throwing people at challenges that... you wouldn't necessarily usually see in more modern game design.
Yep.
Have you ever thought about doing that in the adventure paths? Just kind of throwing people up against stuff they can't handle, or does that not really, in your opinion?
So we may have mentioned that we're doing an adventure called Tyrant's Grasp. We're also doing an adventure called Return of the Rune Lords, where the player characters are going to encounter Rune Lords before they are double digit.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
So yeah, definitely. There's going to be places where you can get in over your head. Yeah.
Also, the first Strange Aeons.
Oh, that's right.
There was a CR 17 encounter for first level.
There sure is, baby.
It's definitely something that we do now.
It's probably not going to come up.
Yeah, I will say that you do pick up a second mythic character who can kick Tar Bafon's ass if you can keep her alive.
So how do I go about killing her as fast as humanly possible?
By being a terrible person.
Yeah.
Mostly.
GM. What do you expect?
Mostly by dealing emotional damage.
Good.
Yeah. Cool. All right. I think we got the time's up warning. Thank you, everybody, for stopping by.
Thank you for joining us for another PaizoCon 2018 seminar recording. Special thanks to the KDCon team, including Justin Sluder, Ryan Hiller, Stephen Glicker, and the entire Roll for Combat crew. No Direction's PaizoCon coverage would not be possible without their tireless effort. To find this and other great Pathfinder podcasts, visit nodirectionpodcast.com.